Hello, one and all. You're listening to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
What's up, everybody? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much for joining us again today.
Today's episode is Greatest Hits. We're going to take a look back on the best music we've played in our first year of the show. This is going to be the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I mean, now that it's 2013, we're going to take a look back on the entire first year, and we're just going to play some of the best music that we feel that we've either discovered or that we featured on this podcast. So it should be a very good list of tracks today. And at the end, we have a little bit of a surprise for you, something special planned, but we won't spoil that yet.
You're listening to The Opening Stage from Rockman and Forte. This was featured in episode 4, Mega Man. Yeah. This is quite a while ago that we played this track.
Carl and I have talked a lot about this track and this whole soundtrack of how much we think that the music from Rockman and Forte is just so incredible.
Yeah, this is really going to be an amazingly densely packed playlist of music today. This is just going to be every single track we absolutely love. And actually, I'm pretty sure, with a few exceptions, every single track we're playing today was a track of the week of a past episode. So yeah, it's just going to be an absolutely dense episode of great music. And we just wanted to say how much fun we've had, how much we've enjoyed the podcast so far. And we just want to thank everyone for making this such an enjoyable back and forth connection that we have with everyone. We've really enjoyed the comments we've received. We really enjoyed seeing our subscribers grow, and in general, we just want to thank you guys for supporting us.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. And we hope you had a good new year, and welcome to the 2013 year. Hopefully this one's even better than the last.
We're going to start things off from a track we played in episode 2 of the podcast a long time ago.
I don't even remember that far back.
Yeah, I think we had a favorite composers episode. This is a track from Shin Onigashima, soundtrack composed by Koji Kondo for the Famicom Disk System. This is Staff Roll. You're listening to Staff Roll from Shin Onigashima, composed by Koji Kondo.
What a great way to start this episode off. I mean, I think this just sort of captures the type of stuff that we do here a lot. I mean, we've obviously talked about how great we think Koji Kondo is and how he's one of our favorite composers, but this track is really nice because it comes from a soundtrack that I think a lot of people in America aren't familiar with, and I think we've definitely delved a lot into some of Koji Kondo's Japanese soundtracks, and this is one of my favorite from this game.
Yeah, in general, this soundtrack was one of my favorite soundtracks that we've featured this whole first year on the podcast. So yeah, this is definitely kind of a fitting first track to play. And I also think the Rockman Forte was a perfect opening track for this for today's episode. It kind of sums up the podcast in a nice way. But yeah, in general today, we're not really going to need to talk too much about these tracks because, like you said, we've already played them. We've already talked a lot about them. So it's just kind of be the best of the best, just kind of a nice...
We're just going to let the music speak for itself and just sort of play things out a little bit longer. We won't come in and interrupt the songs and talk about them that much. But yeah, this is just going to be really enjoyable for us as well because we obviously love this music.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun trip down memory lane because for a lot of these tracks, we haven't listened to them probably since we first played them. And in some cases, it was almost a year ago. So yeah, it's going to be kind of fun, and hopefully it'll be fun for you guys as well. The next track we're going to play was, I think, on episode 3, our first show and tell episode.
Right.
Quite a while ago. And this is a track from Aladdin for the Genesis, and this soundtrack was composed by Donald S. Griffin. We're going to play one of our favorite 16-bit era songs. This is Camel Jazz. We'll be right back. Camel Jazz from Aladdin for the Sega Genesis, composed by Donald S. Griffin. Such an amazingly classic track. I love how long the track is, too, you know, because you have those three different sections. You have the swung section, the bossa nova section with the great bass line.
The bossa nova section is just great.
And then you have that ending build-up where it just keeps going and going, and it's just kind of crazy how long the form is, and it's just so fulfilling when it comes back to the loop again because it feels like you're coming back home.
One thing that I really like about this song is I feel like it's a very elegant use of the Sega Genesis hardware. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of tracks from the Sega Genesis were doing a little bit more overt of a sound. They were going for a little bit more of like a pop rock sound with some of the more buzzier instruments. But what's nice about this track is I feel like it's using a little bit more subtlety with the instruments, and it's very rare for me because when I think of Sega Genesis, this is not really the first type of sound that comes to my head, but I feel like the composer Donald Griffin did a very good job of creating a little bit more proper, a little bit smoother and authentic of sound, something that you might even hear on like the Super Nintendo, because you can really recognize every one of these instruments. Like the bass sounds like an actual bass, and some of the more brassier instruments do sort of sound like the instruments they're trying to synthesize.
There's definitely good instrument choices, and in general it was just so much more jazzy than most of the stuff you'd hear on the Genesis, like authentic jazz too, you know. There was a lot of kind of funky jazzy stuff on the Genesis, but this is just kind of straight ahead swung with a little bit of a bossa nova in there.
Right.
But yeah, just such a well-composed soundtrack. And one thing that's really frustrating for me is this is a really commonly miscredited soundtrack. It's a lot of times people only credit to Tommy Tallarico, which isn't accurate. He only did like, I think, some of the incidental music, like the ending, like the level complete jingle. He didn't do much. And he actually, I think he was the one who hired Donald to work on this game because I think he was busy with other games at the time.
Right.
For Virgin, I think he worked for Virgin at that time, and yeah, it's just kind of unfortunate because Donald is an incredibly obscure composer. He hasn't done much, and I really want him to have the credit for this game because he did such a great job. And it's always kind of frustrating when you have those really common miscredits.
Yeah, I think at that time people didn't take the credits as seriously as they would nowadays.
Definitely. So we're going to move on to another kind of quintessential soundtrack for this podcast. This is UN Squadron. Now, it's been almost kind of a point of comedy how many tracks we've played from this soundtrack.
A little bit of a running gag between Carl and myself about that. I think we've played every single track, if not 90% of the tracks from the soundtrack. It's funny. On one of the first show and tells, Carl like introduced the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And then like there were so many occasions where we would play music from it because it actually had a very good lineup of sort of really esteemed all-star composers from like the 8-bit and 16-bit era.
Some Mega Man all-star composers. This soundtrack was composed by Manami Matsume, Takashi Tateshi, and Mary Yamaguchi. So it's just such a great lineup of composers. We're going to play Frontline Bass. You're listening to Frontline Bass from UN Squadron, composed by Manami Matsume, Takashi Tateshi, and Mary Yamaguchi. This is one of my favorite uses of the distortion guitar for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Because I know in the past we've talked about how sometimes it was really hard for them to incorporate that instrument because there was like some interesting pitch problems with a lot of, especially with like kind of the Mega Man X series games. But this is one of the examples where it sounds so good. It's just one of my favorite uses of that instrument.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Carl. The intonation is all very well done in this soundtrack. And the instrument choices are very interesting because you do get that sort of electric guitar sound, which is a little bit more reminiscent of like the Mega Man X games. But I feel like some of these chords and sort of counter lines down there remind me a lot of the instruments in Rockman and Forte, actually.
Yeah. Well, what's kind of cool is I've said this before, but I like this band, this UN Squadron band. Like, I think they use a lot of organ. You're right. There's definitely some instruments that are a little bit more in the jazz world, but in general, and even the composition too, like this section here, I love how jazzy it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some really nice kind of jazz chord changes, some 2-5-1s and stuff. But yeah, it's cool because it's such a great combination because like this track starts off a little bit more, I guess, kind of, you know, classic stereotypical video game music, but it really goes in interesting places that I definitely was not expecting when I first heard this track. I was very surprised and I loved it right away. It just really won me over. I think this is one of the strongest tracks in the game.
Yeah, I really like some of the intervals that the chords go to. Mm-hmm. And in general, it's just a very, very melodic song, which the music itself doesn't really remind me a whole lot of Mega Man, but the quality of the melodies definitely remind me of a lot of these composers' earlier work.
I think it's a strong showcase of the Japanese style of composition in 16-bit era video games. So it was really cool we got to feature that. We're going to move on to a track we played, I believe, in our arcade games episode. I think that was episode 5.
Yeah, that's correct.
Long time ago. This is from a game called OutRun, and this is the arcade version. We're going to play a track we played called Magical Sound Shower, and this soundtrack was composed by Hiroshi Kawaguchi. Let's take a listen. Awesome. This is Magical Sound Shower for the arcade version of OutRun, composed by Hiroshi Kawaguchi. This was one of my favorite tracks that we've ever played on this podcast. This is such an amazing song. I love how you think the song has already looped, and then all of a sudden there's this new section, and then this steel drum solo comes in, and it's just one of the happiest things. Like, I'm very curious to see how this was featured in the game, like if there was a certain section of the track maybe where you got to more of like a palm tree, like tropical section or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly, but it's just, I love how long the song is. And for arcade games, like there's something rewarding about surviving for a long time because there's money
right.
involved. So it's like, it always sucks when you get game over because you have to kind of, you know.
And there's a little bit more pressure on the player
exactly.
to do good.
Yep. So I think that music would really make you feel good that you got that far, you know. Classic track. We're going to move on to a track we played in our bonus stages episode a while back. This is from a game called DK King of Swing for the GBA, and this soundtrack was composed by Takashi Koga. We're going to play Bonus Stage. This is one of our favorite discoveries that episode. Let's take a listen. This is Bonus Stage from DK King of Swing, composed by Takashi Koga. Such a pretty piece, and one of the things I always loved about the GBA is the combination of retro and slightly more modern sounds. So some of those sample channels, it's really fun to feature like those string sounds mixed in with the kind of 8-bit sounds. So it's just a lot of fun. The piece is so melodic, so happy. Again, it goes to places you're not expecting, and it's longer than it needs to be for a bonus stage. And the last section, I think, is actually the best section of the piece. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a lot of fun. One of our favorite discoveries from that episode. So.
Yeah, definitely very fun, and it sort of captures everything I like about video game music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really good melodies, great chord progressions, and I feel like the general style of it really harkens back to a lot of different types of game music. Like, it reminds me a little bit of Sonic, but then part of it actually reminds me a little bit of like LucasArts adventure game music a little bit.
Interesting. We're going to move on to a track from Castlevania 3. And I think we first played this on our Castlevania episode. This is Prelude, and the soundtrack was composed by Hidenori Maezawa, Jun Funahashi, and Yuki Morimoto. Let's take a listen to Prelude.
Thank you.
Whew, that is Prelude from Castlevania 3. I mean, there's not really much we can say about that one. I mean, it's just really beautiful. And we've played this two other times on the podcast. It really gets you in the right mood for Castlevania. But yeah, that's really one of my favorites that I discovered this year.
We're going to move on to a track from Ease 2. And this was featured on our Ease Part 1 episode. This is a Falcom Sound Team JDK soundtrack composed by Yuzo Koshiro and Miko Ishikawa. This specific track is called Subterranean Canal, and this is one of the tracks that was composed by Miko Ishikawa. Let's take a listen. Great track. This is Subterranean Canal from Ease 2, believed to be composed by Miko Ishikawa, but it's kind of hard for me to believe because it sounds so much like a Yuzo Koshiro track. It has the same kind of rhythms and groove, but...
Don't make the same Mihito Yokota mistake again, Carl.
That's funny. No, yeah, I think one of the things that we both responded to in this one is the very unique harmony. It's not kind of uniform. It's just... It moves it in a lot of different unique ways, but...
Yeah, that harmony actually makes this one of my favorite Ease tracks. Mm-hmm. The melody's great, but it just hits you right over the head with that great harmony. And the melody and harmony are two very different instruments in timbre. The harmony is actually a little bit more of that, like, PSG kind of sound.
Sure.
That 8-bit sound. And the melody sort of rings over the top of that and is a little bit louder and more resonant. And it's a really beautiful combination because, like Carl talked about, the movement isn't very parallel and it sort of moves in opposite directions and comes together at really critical points in the piece. It's just... really pretty.
So that was Subterranean Canal from Ease 2. We're going to move on to a pretty cool discovery that we made. I think we played this in one of our Show and Tell episodes. And thanks again to Andrew for showing this to us. This is a soundtrack called Interstate 76, which is a PC car combat game. And the soundtrack was composed by Arian Salazar. If you remember, he was the bass player to Third Eye Blind. We kind of talked about that.
Right.
Kind of an interesting story behind this game. We're going to play the track called Spineless Funk.
Thank you.
Spineless Funk from Interstate 76, composed by Arian Salazar. Everything about it is so authentic. I love all the players are really kind of nailing the style in the production too. How everything was recorded. I love how dry the drums are. They kind of have that nice 70s sound. And the bass, I love how sparse it is. How it's just bam bam. It's just hitting those two kind of slapped notes.
It's also a very dry sound on that bass too.
Yeah, and what's kind of cool is there's a lot of kind of like a little bit obnoxious synthesizer sounds that are playing those kind
like
of
it.
Synthy bass sounds, because the real electric bass, like I said, isn't playing very much. But you're right, it's cool. I mean, it definitely works for this piece, yeah.
Yeah, you really just sort of fall into that groove and just get really sucked into the repetition of everything.
Definitely. That was a really cool discovery. I think we opened an episode up with that. I think that was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funky. We're going to move on to a track we played in our Ease Part 2 episode. This is from Ease 7, and this is one of the really intense, rocking tracks that featured guitar and violin. This is a track called Vacant Interference, and it was composed by Falcom Sound Team JDK. Listening to Vacant Interference from E7, composed by Falcom Sound Team JDK. It's so fun listening to all these tracks that were always some of our favorites. It's just, I don't know, it's just great going back to them. It's just, it kind of reinforces how great these tracks are. And hearing them side by side is just really impressive.
Yeah, it's also very nostalgic and also a little bit of a deja vu, because having played all these and being in the same room when we record all these podcasts, I'm sort of like,
yeah,
where am I and like what's going on, because I've never heard all these together, but I'm very familiar with all these, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, this one is I love when it goes to halftime.
Oh yeah,
and the harmonies on the guitar switch to octaves.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite parts.
It's so powerful
because you have those harmonies and like both of the guitars have like completely equivalent like styles and equivalent volumes and technique, and when they're like when they both do sort of near, they both do it at the same time, and then when they switch to octaves, it's just so powerful.
And it sounds like these are fake because, like, they pinch at the exact same time too. Like on those certain notes, they have the exact same vibrato. It's like either it was like amazing studio guitarists or it was fake guitar. Because I mean, there's some really nice sounding guitar VSTs that can fool a lot of people. So it's hard to tell, but it sounds awesome, and the violin is definitely real.
Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and move on to our next track.
This is a track from our Forest episode. This is Chrono Trigger, Secret of the Forest. And this classic soundtrack was composed by Yasunori Mitsuda. Here we go. ¶¶ This is Secret of the Forest from Chrono Trigger, composed by Yasunori Mitsuda. I really think this is one of the greatest songs of the 16-bit generation. In some ways, I feel like we could spend a whole episode just dissecting this piece, because mm-hmm. there's so much to love, so much that's impressive about it, both from a technical point of view, to a compositional point of view, to an emotional point of view. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's really something. I feel like this is one of the first things that would come to mind if I was going to try to show somebody proof that video game music is not just bloops and beeps and random sounds, or it's not just goofy, campy music. I mean, there's so much emotion here, and this isn't something, you know, modern day where you have composers who aren't familiar with video games just creating music that's then put into the game. Like, this was made specifically for this game. It was engineered on that 16-bit hardware. I mean, it's really impressive that I feel like a lot of times people nowadays like to think, oh, video game music didn't start really getting serious and emotional until probably at least like Ocarina of Time, and from there it got better. But it's like, when you think about it, there was so much great music going back to when there first was video game music. I mean, this is just so impressive, and it's one of the most emotionally powerful pieces that I've ever heard on a video game. I mean, wow.
We're going to follow that up with another track that really pushed the envelope for the SNES. And this is a soundtrack composed by the Fallen Brothers. This is a game called Plock. And we played this track on our summer episode. This is a track called Beach. And I feel like if I was going to show someone one track that kind of shows them what the Fallen Brothers are all about, I would probably show them this track. So here is Beach from the game Plock. Holy smokes. That's Beach from the game Plock, composed by the Fallen Brothers.
The Fallen Brothers, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my gosh.
The one and only. Yeah, you really cannot beat the Fallen Brothers. I mean, such a joy to listen to their music, how much they push the technology that they worked on, and it's just everything about it is so unique. Doesn't sound like a video game. The meter changes.
It doesn't sound like SNES for sure.
No.
I mean, it, at so many points, it's just barely recognizable. I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit in the drum samples and then, but everything else, I mean, the fidelity is so good. Like, it doesn't even sound compressed at all. It's just, I have no idea how they did that.
In the composition, too. Like, the composition matches what they're doing technically. Like, right, everything is pushing the envelope, you know, consistently across the board.
Yeah, it's just, it's really insane.
Yeah. We are going to have a Fallen Brothers episode coming up, so you guys should look forward to that. It's going to, oh my, that's, that episode's going to be out of control. I mean, I feel like the, our recording interface might explode in that episode, but yeah, that's going to be great. We're going to move on to a track we played in our imports episode. That was an episode that we played pretty much only Japanese-only releases. This is a track from a game called Rudra no Hiho for the Super Famicom, and this was one of our favorite discoveries on that episode. This was composed by Ryuji Sasai. We're going to play a track called Echoes. Listening to Echoes from the game Rudra no Hiho, composed by Ryuji Sasai. I think it'd be fun for you, Will, because I know that you really responded to this in that episode immediately. You should maybe do like a kind of full orchestrated version of this piece.
That would be really cool.
I think it warrants it. I mean, I think this music is so strong and it sounds great. It really, again, this is another track that's pushing the envelope. I feel like we have three tracks in a row for this system that are really just doing bold things compositionally and technically.
Right.
And this composer, Ryuji Sasai, I feel he's incredibly underrated. I think he did Final Fantasy Mystic Legend, Mystic Quest, which was kind of a B Final Fantasy game, but I'm actually a huge fan of his music. I think he's outstanding.
Yeah.
Great track.
I love how this one starts. It just hits you over the head with the most infectious part of the melody,
mm-hmm,
and in my opinion, like the greatest part of the song.
And the chords,
and it just
too.
Starts right away.
Very classic film score chords, too. And I just think it would be cool to hear what a real harp would sound like arpeggiated in that line. We're going to move on to yet another Super Nintendo track. This is kind of the Super Nintendo part of this episode. And one thing to note is that we're not having a track of the week this week, because if we did, that would pretty much make it track of the year. And I don't know if we want to make that claim. That might be a little too intense to...
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, that we knew and loved before we even started the podcast, mm-hmm, that might not be on this list. We're really trying to do a lot of things that if we didn't discover this year, things that aren't really that famous in the pop culture, and something that we would like to hopefully let this podcast give it a little bit more exposure.
Yeah, and in general, like, we only had that one Koji track the whole day, and that was from Shin Onigashima. We're not having anything from our Nintendo weeks. So that's right, just another kind of thing to note. But yeah, this is a track from Final Fantasy V, composed by Nobuo Uematsu. This was a track... This is
my vote for track of the year.
This is a track that is really important for us on this podcast. This was a track that when we first listened to it, neither of us liked it. And in general, it was kind of a microcosm of Uematsu. And eventually it got to the point where we absolutely love it. So here is Ahead on Our Way from Final Fantasy V.
Thank you. We're listening to Ahead on Our Way, composed by Nobu Uematsu. Now, what's so interesting about this song is, like Carl said, when we first heard it, I remember listening to this with Carl and being like, it's just so random. The chord changes just don't make sense at all. And we really were sort of close-minded to it, and we sort of let that taint our opinion of the song and the composer in general, which is really unfortunate. But what I think is cool is when we went back to listen to the Final Fantasy soundtracks, I think it really sort of opened our eyes how skilled Uematsu is as a composer. And this track in particular, it's the type of thing where the more you listen to it and the more you get used to some of those chord changes, the more you start to appreciate the quality of the melody. And I mean, to me, that melody is just fantastic. And the chord changes I start to like even more. And like when it goes to minor, it's just
Cool. This B section is my personal favorite. It's a little bit more romantic. I think it's kind of, why are there drums during it, though? I mean, it's kind of a weird combination. I like it, though, because it has this really funky drum beat with this really orchestral-like romantic melody. It's kind of a cool combination, but I guess in some ways, like, it would have been a little bit more serious if there wasn't that drum beat underneath it. But it is a video game, after all, you know, so it is kind of trying to be true to that. So it is a cool combination to hear. But yeah, this piece is definitely one that has grown on both of us, to say the least. So we're going to move on to a track we played in our Sonic episode. I think our Sonic Part 2. And this was from Sonic Generations. We're going to play a track we played called Planet Wisp Act 2. And this was composed by Kenichi Takoi. Let's take a listen. Planet Wisp Act 2 from Sonic Generations, composed by Kenichi Takoi. Yeah, this was one of our favorite discoveries, or at least one of my favorite discoveries that week on our Sonic Part 2. I had never heard this before, so this was a lot of fun. This was one of the few modern Sonic tracks where I felt was kind of carrying the torch as far as how melodic it was and how interesting it was as far as different instruments that are passing along different melodies. And it's incredibly groovy and funky, and the bass, guitar, and drum playing are all very frantic and busy, but just really well done. In general, it's just a very solid piece of music. We're going to move on to a track we played on our computer music episode. This is from the PC-98. It's from a game called Ground Seed, and this was composed by two Ryus. You got Ryu Uemoto and Ryo Takami. We're going to play a track. I think this was our track of the week that week. This is called Akira. We'll be right back. Such a cool track. This is Akira from the game Ground Seed. I love all the sliding that occurs, not only in the lead, but also in the bass. There's a lot of really cool sliding, and the vibrato is just, oh man, it's very in your face and kind of piercing in a good way. It forces you to listen to it, and I love the beat too. I mean, this is one of the few games that I've heard for the PC-88 that has a really nice sounding kind of rave dance beat underneath
right.
it. Just with that, but it sounds really good. There's a lot of low end on it.
Yeah, I love that ostinato. It really helps to drive mm-hmm. home the continued sort of grid, linear based type of song that this is.
Sure.
And it goes well with that kind of house beat that Carl mm-hmm. was talking about.
Definitely.
I love all the modulation there. It's really cool. It really keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, it keeps changing the key every single time it comes back to the melody, which is a nice technique because you don't have to just completely go back to the beginning of the loop. You can kind of spice it up.
Right. So next, we're moving on to one of my favorite 8-bit soundtracks of all time. And this is DuckTales for the NES, and we're going to play, in my opinion, the best track from that game by far. This is The Moon, composed by Hiroshige Tonemura. Oh, sweet nostalgia. That's The Moon from DuckTales, composed by Hiroshige Tonemura. So now we're actually going to move on into the next little section of this episode. We're going to just do a little bit of retrospective on some fun moments and memories that we've had on this podcast so far.
Kind of a clip show, if you will, of the first year of this show.
Yeah.
So it should be a lot of fun.
Hey, Carl, I just want to ask you, do you remember that time when we were going to do that Cruisin' USA episode and Marty came on and he sort of interrupted our feed and then he started talking about sound effects?
Oh, I think I do remember that.
Okay, Carl, I'm in the server room.
What does it look like down there, Will?
I need to take a closer look.
Hello? What about this button?
No!
Carl? Will? Let's listen to another couple of sound effects that utilize some of the other channels on the NES, like the noise channel. A pretty fiery sound effect. Now, how on earth did he make that? Let's slow it down.
Oh, fun memories. Too bad we didn't get to that Cruisin' episode.
Will, do you remember the time that we got to interview Grant Kirkhope and talk about some of his classic soundtracks that he composed?
Let me think about that. Yes?
We had to work out how we could construct that on the metal guitar. We had to work out how we could construct it by using the minimum amount of actual real samples. So there's like maybe three or four phrases that exist in that entire tune.
I see.
So we'd cut it up and use, you know, phrase one to phrase two to phrase one to phrase three, you know what I mean, like that. So it isn't all one take, it's all pieced together with little tiny bits of that bit because memory was so tight on the machine in the early days.
Man, that was a joy to get to talk to that man.
That was so cool. You know what's funny is ever since then, we've just listened to even more and more of his music. And I just, I feel like ever since the interview, I've just come to respect him even more. And speaking of people who I've respected more after an interview, hey, Carl, you remember a few months back when we did that Legend of Zelda episode and we got to talk with Mr. Jaron Moore?
I do recall that.
There were three main composers on Twilight Princess. That was Toru Minegishi, Asuka Oda, and Koji Kondo.
Right.
And really, Tomo Minegishi and Asuka Oda are the ones who really kind of led the charge. And I really felt like they had a dialogue. They really communicated and worked with each other's ideas very closely, and had a really awesome sense for motivic development and how to integrate sure. that with the story and how to tell the story and complement the story with its music.
Gosh, that's such a cool opportunity, especially since Carl and I got to hear his concert, Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses.
Yeah, that was a great experience. Will, do you remember when we did our first Sonic episode and you forgot to turn your phone off?
Oh, whoops. Hello?
Hey, this is Marty.
Marty, what's going on?
Yeah, well, I was just listening to your podcast and you guys played one of my favorite Sonic tracks and then it seemed like you weren't really going to go into any detail about it, so I just wanted to give you guys a call to make sure I was hearing everything.
You have anything you want to say about this track, Marty?
Well, I've got a lot. I've actually prepared a thesis on it. I could talk for maybe 20 or 30 minutes.
That was a nice happy accident. Hopefully you remember now to keep your phone off during these.
Yeah, I'm very religious about it, but my power button has since broken, so hopefully Marty doesn't call anymore. Carl, let's take a little bit look back at the start of this second season. Now, if you guys remember, Carl and I did something a little bit special looking back at the history of video games. So let's take a little look back into the history of this podcast to when Carl and I had a little bit more of a scripted take on video game history.
As the technology and innovation for graphics started to improve more and more in the late 80s, so did the sound and music capabilities. The 16-bit era ushered in new, exciting possibilities for game composers. As the games themselves became more colorful with more personality and unique art styles, the music was able to match that. No longer were composers limited to just three voices or stuck with very few sounds to choose from. In 1989, the Sega Genesis, or Mega Drive in Japan, was the console that launched this exciting new generation in video games.
That was a fun change of pace.
That was. That was a good way to come back to the second season. Will, do you remember not too long ago, we had an episode on Koji Kondo, and we got to feature our brother Marty to talk with us about the legendary composer.
Well, not really because of my short-term memory loss, so why don't you refresh me right now by playing a clip?
I'll say that of all the music in Mario 64, this is maybe the only piece that would be right at home in one of the 8-bit titles or one of the SNES titles. I think there's something just really elegant about it, and I would actually imagine that this is kind of the instrumentation that Koji would have imagined for his early games. We tend to think of them as like really Latin or samba, but I think he would have been more like string pizzicato, something a little bit more elegant like this.
Yeah.
Man, that was a good time.
Wait, what were we talking about? Okay, well, Carl, hopefully we don't get too red-faced here. But if you guys remember, especially those of you who've been with us since the beginning, Carl and I were both very vocal in the first few episodes of this podcast of our opinions of the music of the Final Fantasy games and of Nobuo Uematsu. And we sort of expressed that we weren't the biggest fans of his compositional style, but I want to play you guys a contrast from the first episode when we talked about Uematsu in our Final Fantasy episode, and you'll sort of see a little transition that happened, and we sort of saw the light, so to speak.
So here's the Uematsu flip-flop.
I'm not the biggest fan of his music. I think he's slightly overrated just because I think some of his melodies, I get the sense that they're a little bit random.
Very much so.
I've really grown to appreciate Uematsu's diversity because he's able to create very different types of themes, and I think he's really good at all of it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. We definitely gained a lot of respect from the series and from that man. So that was one of the cool things about this.
So embarrassing for us. Ah, sweet. So let's keep this fun going. Now, for those of you who have noticed, Carl and I are both very much musicians, and we really like to sing along to some of the tracks that play, and maybe you guys are laughing behind our backs, but we don't really care, because we've taken a montage of every single time that Carl and I have hummed or sang along with a track, and we've put it into our own little symphony.
Yeah, I would say for some people, maybe one of the quintessential things about this podcast is kind of the times where we kind of sing along and or beatbox to the track after we play it. So without further ado, here's the Super Mario Brothers Year One Musical Montage. Go! That was the Supermercado Brothers musical montage. And something we're going to do for fun, we're going to have a little contest here. So leave a comment on our blog or our Facebook page, and the contest is going to be how many of those tracks you recognize from that montage. And the person who wins, who recognizes the most tracks from that montage, will get to choose a future topic that we'll do on the show.
Yeah, choose a topic, any topic, we'll do it, we will oblige. But a little challenge, let's see, you guys, go back, listen to that, see how many melodies you can pick out from that. Now, some of the things I might not even remember, like just when we're doing do, you know, some of that is just kind of, it all sounds the same, but there's a lot of melodies in there, and it would be kind of a cool little thing to see who can name the most.
And yeah, and the best way to get 100% is if you went back and re-listened to every single episode of our podcast, if you feel like getting 100%. But that might require a little bit more time. But yeah, so if you want to have some fun, go back, re-listen to that little chunk, and see how many you can recognize. And like I said before, the person who recognizes the most gets to choose a topic that we'll do in the future.
Well, thank you so much for indulging us on that little trip back through Nostalgiaville. Thank you so much again. We've had such a wonderful first year of doing this podcast, and we look forward to many more.
Definitely. We have some awesome episodes coming up in the coming weeks, so keep it here locked to the Supermercado Brothers every single Monday. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much for joining us this week, you guys. Peace out.
See ya.